small town in the Moravian Hills, August 1894.
That factory in Zen, the first one, was just a workshop in somebody's home because it started in a very, very small way, but grew relatively quickly because he had the right product for the right people at the right time.
August 2000, 50,000 employees based in 70 different countries.
We are today truly global, multi-domestic, multinational, multi-international, people who serve people with shoes. We do all kinds of other things, but footwear is our core business.
Thomas Batcher was born in 1876 in Zlin, southeast Moravia, at that point just a speck in the vast Austro-Hungarian Empire. The son of a local shoemaker, Thomas Batcher's success was based on a simple altruistic idea, an idea that would make him a wealthy man and change the face of shoe manufacturing around the world.
He had the idea that one could start making footwear for sale directly to some traders rather than just going on the Saturday markets and then taking some orders. It was a little complex. However, he had the idea of a certain type of footwear which would serve, let's say, people who previously were going around barefoot.
Within a year, the first Batcher shoe shop was opened in Prague, some 300 kilometers from Zlin. By the early 1900s, the factory was producing 2,200 pairs of shoes a day. However, the world outside Zlin was fast changing, and Batcher knew that greater expansion was necessary to keep up.
He very soon discovered that he had to learn something more, and he went and worked as a journeyman in Germany and Austria and learned something about modern shoemaking, because there in Germany there were some nuclei of mechanized factories. Then he packed up and brought a group of about 10 or 12 of his closest fellow workers to the United States, and they had a look at the American.
And around what year was that?
Oh, that was about 1904 or so. And the nucleus of the people he took over on the first time, they pretty well stayed with him until, in due course, they retired or died.
The First World War did not have the disastrous effect on Batcher that it had on other European industrialists. The Austro-Hungarian army needed boots. And so, both the factory and the core group of skilled labor Batcher had recruited survived intact. Zlin did not suffer greatly during the war and continued to prosper under the First Czechoslovak Republic. The Batcher Shoe Company expanded further with branches opening across Europe and in the United States. Unlike many of his industrial counterparts, Batcher believed that a focus on people and public services was critical for real business success.
He always had the dream of improving his old hometown. He was not a politician, he didn't like particularly politics, but at that time the Zlin municipality was held by a communist mayor, and he didn't particularly like that. And so in the end he went into municipal politics and became mayor, and the town prospered.
As mayor of Zlin, Batcher was able to fulfill that dream. The Batcher Shoe Company built housing for its employees, provided schools, hospitals and public amenities. In later years, he was to add rail services, roads, and a tannery. Word spread about Thomas Batcher, the philanthropic mayor.
When my father was courting my mother, her father wrote to the Zlin priest to ask what was this young fellow up to. The report was that he was a very hard-working, honest young man with sometimes unusual ideas. So, yes, he did have ideas of a different character. For example, he was the first one to introduce in this area, and certainly in a good part of Europe, profit sharing for his people, and a good deal of cultural development. And that was one of his great concentrations and loves.
So the priest thought him a little unusual, but how did Thomas Batcher Jr. see his own father?
He was a pretty hard-working fellow. and he had an enormous amount of self-discipline. He would be work in those days in the factory and in the business started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was never a morning that he wouldn't be there punching the clock with the workers. This was a general attitude, that he would not expect other people to do anything that he was not willing to do and tackle himself. And I think he tried to launch me.
And at home, did he speak about the workers?
Oh, certainly he did. You see, there was no alternative, because every evening when he was coming home, or even at lunch, there was always a group of maybe 10, 15, 20 people standing outside of the gate wanting to talk to him. Sometimes they were parents of workers, sometimes they were workers and wives of workers, and he heard an awful lot of complaints as well, and an awful lot of good suggestions about products and about everything else. He was enormously able to maintain contact with every group of people in the town.
So, as a young man, you probably would have overheard all this.
Oh yes, I was usually in the car. And I learned to enjoy it, and I've been enjoying people and people I work with all the time.
A pioneer in his field, Thomas Batchel was also a forerunner in the field of aviation. He flew extensively in a time when air travel was limited. In 1932, he died tragically while flying in thick fog. At the time of his death, Czechoslovakia, thanks to Batchel, was the world's leading footwear exporter.
Only recently, one of the old-timers said, you know, what struck us, that the day after he got killed in that aeroplane, and he had been undoubtedly the creator of the enterprise, the leader of the enterprise, what happened? Nothing. Everything worked, because he was a team worker, and he had a first-class team, and a very important thing that he had done, he had brought up hundreds of good youngish people, and many of them had been sent into different parts of the world, and they were, by that time, they were pretty experienced international global traders, yes, because the business range from Zlin to China, South America, and South Africa, and of course North America.
After the death of Thomas Batchel, his half-brother took over. However, World War II and the consequent communist takeover of Czechoslovakia forced the Batchel company out of Zlin. Today, shoe production in the Czech Republic is minimal, and the town of Zlin is a shadow of its former self. But the legacy of Thomas Batchel remains. The Batchel Shoe Foundation in Zlin continues to support the local people, and in the near future, a university bearing Thomas Batchel's name will be opened in the town. Today, the Batchel Shoe Organization's headquarters are based in Toronto, Canada. In 52 production facilities around the globe, over 150 million pairs of shoes are produced annually, all due to a man who is described by his son simply as
an entrepreneur with a heart and with a vision.